Satan came and said, that's why, listen, be careful where you take your information from in life. Let me tell you what I'm trying to say. Was Daniel I was discussing with in Benin? But I said, I'm being very careful. I'm extremely careful. In fact, I'm even going to reduce the amount of, because if I quote somebody like maybe a man successful in the secular world, sometimes I make statements from their mouth. Actually, it's just to show a light of divine truth. Do you get my point? Just a practical explanation of that which is real. All right? Which is really true. Just a practical manifestation. I'm bringing out something. I'm being careful not to make it appear like I'm telling people that, look at it now, Bill Gates did this, this, and this is successful. Don't you want to say like Bill Gates? No. I'm being very careful. I refuse to use him as an assessment of success. I've read enough in the world to know you should be careful as a believer. Somebody was organizing something the other day, and I think my wife had discussed with one brother. I said, look, listen, if I did, I'm not going to go for that program. She said, why? I said, because the person who's coming to speak was chosen because of worldly success. I said, I won't go. That is, what we are using to promote this person is talking is because this person has done this, has done that. It's all worldly success. I said, no, I will not go. No, I won't go. That what you have experienced outside does not validate the truth you are walking by, the principles you are walking by. No. I said, the church was built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. That is, Jesus spoke. The apostles heard him and they went to report what he said. And that the prophets see into the realm of the spirit, the scrolls of heaven, the things that are recorded inside, and they declare it. Whether it makes sense or not, we hold those ones. Now, we can now from there begin to use natural things to explain. But we don't learn from natural things. We don't. No, we don't. I'm bringing out something. Because the reason is that you can make something appear good that is actually evil by how you speak about it. The Bible said that what will happen is that they will start calling, he said, woe to him that calls good evil and evil good. You know why woe to the man? Because when Jeroboam sinned, he was punished not just for his sin, but the one that he made the rest of Israel to sin. So if a man rises up and calls evil good, what happens is that once he calls it good, it begins to appear good in the eyes of people. Please, are you getting the point I'm making? I read a lot. I read all kinds of things. I read one of these Donald Trump's books recently, The Art of the Comeback. And there's a chapter in it, I laughed. You see, I thank God for the understanding he has given me. I can read plenty of things. I go, they laugh when somebody says something. I just laugh. What they are saying is very stupid. You know, he made a statement. Is there any man who, of course, he's speaking within his own realm of understanding and of operations. He'll say, I believe in an eye for an eye. A tooth for a tooth. That all those who did me evil, the time I was going down, now I pay them back. He would give you names. I'm paying them back. Now, the other man, he sent me a letter requesting for help. I wrote on it, go to hell. And I mailed it back to him. He said, yes, I'm having the time of my life. The fact that you made billions of dollars does not make that right. Don't forget, this guy is an icon. Do you get my point? It's like people gather. Donald Trump is talking. The king of Manhattan is speaking. The man who made billions and billions of dollars in real estate development in some of the most difficult districts of the world. He's talking. So you hear him. This is my beloved successful man in whom I am well pleased. Do you follow what I'm going to say? I say, oh boy, on that one, you goofed big time. Do good to them that despitefully use you. That's what Jesus Christ said. He said, if a man does you evil, do him good in return. That is the foundation of apostles and prophets that I understand. I'm bringing out something. Now, if you speak so much about how successful Donald Trump is, how successful this worthy person is, unconsciously, a lot of young people pick up their books and imbibe every crap that's inside. Somebody told me once, a pastor was talking, and he said, you must never say, I'm sorry, in the front presence. No, he was teaching leaders, you know, leadership training. You must never say, I'm sorry, in the presence of your subordinates. It shows that you lack the, what they call determination, the steel of mind, you know, You like decisiveness. You lack this one. And now, I said, how can a pastor say that? Somebody just besides, they don't mind him. He read 48 laws of power. I've not read the book, but apparently it's one of the quotes inside it. I said, you see, that's why you have to be careful. You know, my wife was remarking something yesterday. She said, it appears like all this success, and talking thing is in vogue now. Do you follow my point? Everybody wants to talk. Yes. But they don't read the Bible well. Let me give you advice. No matter how much you hear somebody is paid for talking, don't want to talk as a Christian until you are forced to talk. James said, it's not good. Let's not all want to be teachers. He said, because the judgment upon them is severe. The reason again is because of this principle of Jeroboam. It's not only their sin, but the one they cause other people to sin. That kind of pastor that said that you must never tell your subordinates, I'm sorry. Wait, God said, one, I will shoot you for never saying I'm sorry. Then for every other person that didn't say I'm sorry because you told them not to say I'm sorry, one bullet. So maybe it's just one leg I was going to shoot you in before. Or just one foot. Now I shoot both feet, both knees, both shoulders, both hands. Why? Because every time a pastor commits iniquity amongst his subordinates and refuses to say I'm sorry, I'll say I know where he got it from. Like the man who was preaching at our church on Wednesday, and I tell you that, look, I've been paid $1 million for speaking for 45 minutes before. So people, you say, eh? Well, nothing wrong with being paid $1 million for speaking for 45 minutes. In fact, the day I will be paid $10 million for, no, giving, not payment. I never charge money for preaching. I preach free of charge. And I've told people before, look, no matter how something is involved, I know they do. Do you follow my point? I know they do. I'm not saying it's bad, though. I know they do. I'm not charging money. I'm a preacher. Do you get my point? I am not. Look, I've had people saying that they want to do one success development thing. I am not coming. In fact, no, I'm serious. I know they do. I know they do. I say I'm a preacher. No, I meet the people who do it. I'm not saying it's wrong. Please, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying I'm a preacher. And I don't charge money. Some guys came to see me the other day. So there's this program they're having. They want to talk on this and that. I said, he said, who should they call? He said, well, what I said, before they even got there, I said, oh, you think I'll come and speak? I said, let me tell you something ahead of time. I don't come. I said, I will not come. There's something I'm trying to bring up. I said, I refuse to get carried away. He said, Pastor Bangor, you know, you've been preaching. Nobody paid you money. That's their problem. I'm not preaching for them. Do you follow my point? I'm preaching for God. And in due season, I will reap my reward. Yes, in due season. In fact, I know how I'm counting my reward. One young man saw me yesterday, gave me another reward. I didn't even know where I met him. I was just talking on the road. He just saw me. He went into his spasm. Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, sir. What is going on? He said, sir, I listened to you yesterday. Oh, I was so blessed. Oh, very good. That's another reward. God bless you. It's well with you. God bless you, my mind. I was feeling so sweet. I was feeling sweet. This was at Nehu, not in Enugu. I went to Nehu yesterday. I was feeling very good. No, I'm sure I was feeling very, very good. Now, please let me just sit on what I'm going to explain. So, what happened? Satan told Eve some issues about the tree, and suddenly the tree started looking good in her eyes. Somebody was telling me once about the spirit of rock music, how it perverts beauty. I saw a clip. I don't know which news I was watching a few days ago. Have you heard of Kiss? That's a particular group called Kiss, K-I-S-S. And they were talking about, I think watched for just a few seconds. I think I was walking into the house and the news was on. And I saw the picture of the Kiss guy talking, the rock leader. And his face was painted white, you know, white. And then how do they express? They stick out their tongue like an angry devil. And they show two children showing the Kiss face. I said, look at it. The spirit has entered them. That is what should have scared people normally. It has become a matter of fun now. Do you understand? They have called good evil and evil good. Somebody said, I don't know how true it is. He said the full meaning of Kiss in reality, the truth, that's what the person said. That is not a joke. That it means kids in Satan's service. The one I know for sure, not I'm guessing. I read that one. Is Alice Cooper. There was one group, a rock group also called Alice Cooper. The lead guitarist in the group said the name was spelled to them by narcotics practice. Satan spoke to them that if you will change your name, I will make you famous. And they said, what do you want our name to become? It was on a Ouija board. The scope started moving. Spelt out the name neat for them on an occultic board. They began to bear the name and they began to succeed. And instantly he became a wife beater. He never beat his wife before that time. He said a spirit entered into him. He, of course, instantly he went on drugs. He told the testimony he had made. Of course, he was a multi-millionaire. But when he was about to commit suicide, I don't know how Jesus finally called him and said, idiot, come, let me save you. And he answered, and he was saved. That's why he wrote his testimonies in Full Gospel Businessmen International, the fellowship, their magazine called Voice. That was where I read it. It's not, don't think it's one abstract story. Somebody told somebody. He was there. We got our name from Satan himself. He said if we change our name, he will make us famous. And he did. So they come out. Someone was now describing the effect rock bands have. So one day, two young people, they sat down and they watched a rock show. Afterwards, they went into their rooms, shaved half of their heads, painted the other one red. That is, when they came out again, suddenly good, evil has become good. An appearance that should have scared even an adult suddenly is now in vogue. Hair half shaven, the part of your head is now another color, looking like Satan himself. Why? Because somebody told him, this is good. Do you get the point I'm describing? This is how Satan steals people's authority. I said something last week, I didn't finish saying it. Talking about the Bible, you know, the Bible says that the righteous, he said, the sinner flees when nobody's pursuing. He said, but the righteous is as bold as a lion. I explained a principle about righteousness before. I said it last week, I didn't finish saying it. I said, righteousness, everything spiritual has two levels. I talked about faith. But we know that righteousness is by faith. Therefore, if faith has two levels, righteousness has two levels. Do you follow what I'm saying? If faith has two levels, righteousness has two levels. When I say righteousness has two levels, I mean that faith as a general thing is faith as is evidence of things not seen. Jesus died 2,000 years ago. I wasn't there, but I believe it. Are you getting the point? But then there is another level of faith which has a practical expectation. And even that can be fine-tuned further in the life of each person. For example, you ask me, Pastor Banko, what are you expecting from life? I can tell you some things. It's not the ultimate. I mean, it's not the totality, but the much that God has allowed me to understand. For example, I'll tell you that what we like to do this year, we like to release 12 books and do 10 seminars. We like to. There's a book I want to write. I believe that it will spread over 100,000 copies so that people can read the content. You know, I'm having something practical that I'm going for. Are you getting the point I'm making? Do you get the point I am making? Now, that doesn't concern, maybe Chike, that one doesn't bother him. It doesn't concern somebody else. Say, look, okay, Pastor Bank wants to write a book. That's his personal problem. What we want to do is to compete with Yahoo. See, they are bidding to buy Yahoo now. There's a fight on who owns Yahoo. One man, is he Icon or one, that's his name, one billionaire or IBAN, what's his name again? The guy is trying to force, he wants to sack the board and make another board agree with Microsoft's bid. Whatever it is, say, look, my own is that we must be able to bid for Yahoo one day. You know, that's in his mind. For my own is that, you bid for Yahoo is your problem. You know, that doesn't concern me. Do you follow what I'm saying? What he's doing is right. I'm not saying it's not right. What I'm doing is right. He's not saying it's not right. Each person is facing the assignment that God has given him. And listen, in the course of that assignment, every challenge makes a statement. I am a youth. God said, do not say I'm a youth. Where we'll get money to print. Do not say where we'll get money to print. We will not have distribution. Do not say we will not. That is, there are statements that I cannot make because I am looking to releasing 12 books and distributing them. Do you get the point I'm making? So for me, it's an issue. Everything around me is centered around it. How do we do the seminar? How do we do, you know, everything I'm plotting around it. Every time, listen to this. Every time I speak in agreement with an opposing word, I am not able. There are giants in the land. Then that is unrighteousness. I don't know whether you're getting my point. For me, what is ailing somebody else is not my concern. But for me, there are specific things I must not say because it is against what I am doing. You are a manufacturer. They say power failure kills every company in this country. You must never utter it. It can kill you physically. I don't mean your company. God can be so angry with you, you will die. Other people can say it. People don't know what's going on. Look, to whom much is given? Much is expected. What did Moses say? And God killed him. Small thing like this. And that was the end of Moses. Someone was telling me a story the other day. Just to let you know, in life, you have to be very careful. He said, he mentioned the name of one big man, one of the top ministers in Nigeria, if I mentioned his name. But because I didn't hear the story so directly from the man's mouth, I will not mention the name, all right? But I believe it. He said, the man was telling them, warning them, you know, talking to preachers. He talked about one preacher who went somewhere one day. And somebody called him and said that, look, they need money, they need money. So he now mentioned the name of one guy in the church. He said, you see that brother Israel? He just got a contract. It's 126 million naira. The guy no one drop money. So that pastor too got up and went and preached. And there's somebody here, that's along the preaching now. The Lord just opened the door. 126 million, it is in a word of knowledge. None of it is nativity and crookedness. And your name, I think, it starts with I. You're laughing. I don't like to know, so that's not to weaken people's faith. Anyway, let me get you to my main part of the story. They brought to fear. This is how I take me all these things. Now, please, let me say clearly, there is true word of knowledge. Satan does not, in fact, you can't have counterfeit if there's no original. You can't. Have you ever seen a fake 150 naira note?
No.
Have you seen it before?
No.
Because there's no original 150 naira note. In the same manner, everything that Satan counterfeits has an original. Do you follow my point? Now, this man, there's a reason why I'm telling the story. Let me cut the long story short. Of course, when he left the church, of course, cash moved around and all of that, and they settled him heavily with honorarium for all the yeoman's job he had done. So as he's turned around to go, God kills people. You see, the Bible says that it's a terrible thing to fall into the hand of the living God. He was not talking to unbelievers. He said, fear the Lord, ye his saints. People have modified. He said, have a reverential fear. Listen, what he means is fear. Be afraid. I might die. That's what he means. Fear the Lord, ye his saints. He can do you terrible things. You'll be surprised. So as the guy was going, sitting in his car, the Lord just spoke to him clearly. If you ever want to see your wife and children again, turn around and go and return that money. He said, I'm telling you, if you want to see your wife and children again, turn now and go and return that money. That if you continue home, you won't get home. The guy called the driver. I said, slow down, slow down. Hey, go back to that church where we're coming from. He said, look, as for that one that gave you money, I have left him. You don't get the point. I don't correct him anymore. But you are lucky I'm still correcting you. Better get up. He said, the guy went back quickly. Greeted the man of God and returned all the money he gave him. Enter this car. Please, I love my wife. I love my children. No, I told the story to let you know. God kills people. He kills people. And it's not always for such terrible sins like this one I've just described. No, it's not always like that. Why did they kill the nation of Israel? He said, you can take the promised land. And they said, we can't. What happened? Die. I told you as believers, you have to make up your mind. You either enter the promised land or you die in the wilderness. There's no going back. Look, it said they overcame him because they did not love their lives unto death. There are times they just say, this thing is rough. He said, let it be rough. You never buy a car. May I trek into eternal life? No, I'm serious. There are statements you make. You won't buy a car. Say, yes, I will trek into eternal life. Because we don't preach the fear of God properly. We don't. What it means to fear God is to be afraid of what he will do to you if you disobey him. You know, you say, I just fear God. You know, I just raise my hands on and worship him in reverence and honor and glory. Listen. Finish worshiping and putting up your hand and everything. Go outside and disobey. You know the meaning of the word fear that time. Because I'm entering the temple. Oh, Lord, my heart is just, oh, Father, we just worship you. Hallelujah. Oh, it is reverential fear of God. We put up our hands. That's not what God means by fear. That's not what God means by fear. What he means by fear is be afraid to disobey me. If I say go to the left and you go to the right, you may never have another opportunity. Bear that in mind. Be afraid. That's what he said. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, you know, I'm discussing how Satan steals authority. I just use that one to bring to us again. You have to be afraid to disobey God. He came to Satan, to Eve. God is not serious. This is the truth. And that changed the way he viewed things. I'm talking about specific righteousness. Let me not forget. So what is specific righteousness? Which I said can be fine-tuned in each person's life. God gives you a vision. He gives you a goal. He said, if you turn back in the day of battle, you will break my covenant. And let me tell you something about breaking the covenant of God. You know, I said it here. Because I said that the way I also taught my people in Benin. I explained there was a time that God decided he was going to kill Moses. He called Moses. At the end of the day, he said, now let me go and kill him. Have you read it before in your Bible? Let me save time. Why was God going to kill Moses? Simply because he did not circumcise his son. Why did he not circumcise his son? I think his wife refused. How do I know? Because when she realized that God was about to... And you know, God doesn't joke. When he was going to kill Moses, Moses would have died. And it hurts me to think that there were many Moses that God killed and you never read about them. No, that one I'm sure of. Look, you think you just read that God called Abraham. I am sure. Okay, then I say I'm sure. But there's a high probability that Abraham was not the first that they called. There were many people called and few were chosen. Have you not read before in your Bible? They called Moses, go and deliver the children of Israel. Boy, come. Along the way, before you go, you must circumcise all your children. I'm talking about breaking covenant. Do you understand my point? You circumcise your children. So, as simple as I said, the boy will cry. You know, the boy has a low threshold for pain. You know, this boy, he cries a lot. No. Moses said, you know now. God said, he said, wait later. He was moved by the voice of his wife. God said, no problem. And God took his sword and walked into the tent, saying, this one is not useful anymore. Good enough. Suddenly, Zipporah understood what was going on. I have the feeling an angel of God, God allowed the angel to talk to Zipporah and say, listen, your husband is dying. And the reason is because he has broken covenant with God. And I've explained to you before, I wrote an article long ago titled The Sign of the Covenant, that circumcision is not the sign of the covenant on the boy who was circumcised. It's a sign of the covenant that the father has with God. When you make a covenant with God, you circumcise your son. That was why God killed his only begotten son as a part of the covenant he made with man. Do you get my point? When you make a covenant with God, you circumcise the son. The sign of the covenant that Abraham made with God was the circumcision of Isaac, both physically and when he was going to kill him. So when Moses refused to circumcise his son, he was breaking covenant with God. And you know what happened? Come on, the guy was going to die. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yes, that's just the way God does it sometimes. You have to serve God properly. Inside out. Many people have died and you don't understand why. There were specific things God said they should circumcise, they did not. And is it as if one day God just, you know, God is long suffering, he's not ever suffering. So whatever is long has an end. In case you think that's a story of those days, let me give you a modern day version of people who broke covenant with God and God also came to kill them. I told you one of the people that trained me most in ministry is Kenneth Hagin. Never met him personally, but I read every one of his books that's in print apart from the daily devotionals. If there's one, possibly, I'm not aware. It may be there. I just didn't know. I've not read that one. I have not seen it. I didn't even see the name listed somewhere. I read a lot. One of the things that he said that happened to him once, listen to this, talking about circumcising your son. He was an itinerant minister. It's not now that, you know, maybe you say, oh, Pastor Banky preaches around, but you know, everywhere I go, I come back to Enugu. No, if you know the way America is, you know, America is large and vast. Now, I'm trying to bring out something. Kenegin will tell you that he drove from the East Coast to the West Coast. That's not a joke. It's not a joke. Now, when he will go to minister, he will drive for days, carry his whole family. As a certain year in this church, after a few months, God, he goes to another church, he moves. Then when he starts his itinerary ministry, he'll be jumping from one place to the other. Do seminar for one pastor in Enugu. From there, they are going all the way to Sokoto. And he will drive. And he had a wife. So he'll be carrying his wife and his children up and down. You know what I mean? Real suffering for Christ. That's real suffering for Christ too. Then when the children grew up to a particular level, they had to go to a steady school. So he could no longer move them up and down like that. So what did he do? He would now leave his wife and his children, and he would be going alone. And you know, there's nothing that the wife loves more on earth than the presence of her husband. So after a while, she began to grumble. Why can't he stay at home like every other husband? Is it the only way to serve the Lord? After we're passing the church at a time, we had a regular income, we had a nice personage. Do you understand? And I mean, story, wow. And of course, it just started affecting the way she behaves at home. Then he began to feel it also. She began to say it in his hearing. He began to agree. And then finally, he agreed. He was going to stop his itinerant ministry, take up the pastorate of a church, settle down, earn a regular income, stay there, watch his wife and children, watch his children grow, and take care of the family like a responsible man. He had made the agreement. And around that time, either the church he wanted to go to, or they were having a meeting before he would go to the next church that he was supposed to go and take up as pastor. Anyway, he got up, tried to take a few steps, he collapsed, and he was going to die. And anyway, you know, massaging his heart, trying to wake him up. The man collapsed, and that's it. He was going to die. So, from wherever his wife was, anyway, she got the signal that somebody called him, or she saw the commotion, she came. What is going on? She saw her husband on the floor. And suddenly she understood like Zipporah. And she said, everybody relax. Just give me time. And she began to pray. You know why? Because before then, she would be in the kitchen. She would hear somebody say, I could take him away from you and you will never see him again. And she would turn like, who's that? There's nobody. If her husband is around, did you say something? The guy said, I didn't say anything. Just my imagination. She heard those words a number of times. So that day, when the guy collapsed and he was about to die, just like Zipporah, she remembered, I could take him away. Say you are complaining, he goes for weeks. Now he will go, he will never come back. Then she knelt down there and prayed. Say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I complained. I'm sorry I grumbled. I'm sorry about this. He said, have him, please. I will never complain. She wrote the story in her book. The price is not greater than God's grace. And after that, the man recovered. And finally died at the age of 88. More than 50 years afterwards. Do you get my point? So it's not just Bible story. It happens till today. What does Satan do? He tries, you know, I'm talking about specific righteousness. I said the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now we're talking about specific righteousness. There's something that God has given each person to do. Righteousness is to agree with God, think like God, say whatever it is that God says you should say. I said something when we're reading from Luke chapter 10, that Jesus gave them authority, but they didn't just go around everywhere. He sent them somewhere. He sent them two by two to the cities that he was planning to come to. And he said, when you get there, heal the sick, raise the dead, do this freely, you have received freely, give. Preach like this to them, told them everything. They came back rejoicing. Oh, we have so much power. But they didn't forget one thing, to go where he said they should go. Are you getting my point? How does Satan steal people's authority? He makes them go where they didn't send them. It's very common. You know, and I was saying something to you last week. If you hear your mate, age-wise, talk about millions of naira, and you don't know what you are doing with your life, you too, you will pack and say, I'm going to Lagos. They will tell you, sit down there, see your mates in Abuja doing contracts and earning millions. Are you a contractor? What is your own with millions? Each person has an assignment. John the Baptist was preaching for Jesus Christ to come. Jesus Christ came. You know, Jesus Christ was a socialite. You know what I'm saying? He used to go to party. The Pharisees would come and say, oh God, it's my son's naming ceremony. I want you to be the special guest of honor. He will show. Once they finish preaching, he will go. Say, Peter. Hey, say, Peter, James, John, you shouldn't bother cooking. The rabbi is doing wedding today. His first daughter is a wedding. Don't cook. Let's just go. Where's our tent? They will sit down. You know, you won't say that, look, because of that, you will no longer be John the Baptist. You want to go and follow Jesus Christ. Do you get my point? John the Baptist has his own assignment. How does Satan steal people's authority? He sends them away. One of the things he does, he sends them away from where they didn't send them. Every church, at the point I started planting branches everywhere. You remember, everywhere. You are a church in Enugu or in Abak Lake, you must have a branch in Lagos because there's money in Lagos. It's not necessary. One day I heard a man say, Pastor, we have a branch in Lagos. In my mind, they already had understanding like that, did. And this was not in a church anywhere, not in Lagos. We have a branch in Lagos. In my mind, what are you looking for in Lagos? Why? Because then I came from Lagos and we're discussing different gist, because then you will hear that, you know, you'll be in a church and they are trying to raise maybe 800,000 naira to finish maybe a part of the building and do a convention. And you come down and be telling stories of how last time I was in church, and our church, they raised 50 million naira in one Sunday service. 50? What? It's not the same God that we are serving. And somebody said, we need the money in Lagos to do the work of God here. I'm not saying you don't, but the money has better work down by itself. Nobody will go find out. That's my own principle. I will stay in the place of my assignment. There's something Bishop Oedipo said those days. He said, look, he noticed something that anytime he goes to preach abroad, that is with struggle. But when he comes back to Nigeria or any African country, that if I cough, demons will fly out. Just sneeze like this, that's two demons gone from anybody nearby. I'm serious. He made that statement. I've forgotten what he was preaching on that time, but it's actually founded. It's now I understand the spiritual principle behind it. Jesus sent them to places. Wherever Jesus sent them to, they had authority there. They did, all the time. Listen, the passion of your heart, the goal that God has given you, listen, you might be struggling now, but that is exactly where you have authority. That is where you have authority. You might be a child there, figuratively speaking, now, but that is where you will experience the fullness of your authority. You know, nobody will listen to Joseph in Israel, even at his father's house. You know that, Joseph. What did they do to him in his father's house? They used to throw him into a pit. He said, look at him. Come on, keep quiet. You know how they used to do Joseph at home? They hated his guts. The one day he showed up on the farm. Look at the idiot. Throw him into a pit. When he got to Egypt, they bow for the guy in Egypt. Straight from Potiphar's house to the throne in Egypt, it was bow. The same guy in his father's house. No honor. That is none at all. No, who had respect for him? What am I saying? That was the place of his authority. That's where God sent him to. I've digressed into the second thing I will have gotten to later, but let me just keep speaking. That the second way by which Satan steals people's authority is to take them away from where God didn't, from where God sent them to where he didn't send them. If you've read stories a lot, people like William Marion Branham died because teaching was in vogue and they wanted to teach. He was a prophet and an evangelist. And the teachers were now becoming the rave. You know, things happen. You be careful that things don't you know, just sway you. Today, now, you know, the one that's very common now is, you know what I mean, motivational. You know, to talk like T.D. Jakes, talk like Philadelphia, to you, others. I said, I know they do. My name is Banky. My name is Banky. There was a time that it was prophets that were, just before you start preaching like this, the Lord just said to me that there are three people here. It's very good. I'm not saying it's wrong. Do you understand my point? But people who God didn't say anything to, you realize that, how can you preach without giving word of knowledge? So as they get there, after they shake their head long enough, two evil spirits will whisper something to them. It's called familiar spirits. The two people here left 500 naira in their top pocket. God said, bring them out. He said, is he lying? He's not lying. He saw it. He's a familiar spirit. After a while, he too died suddenly. They don't know why. If you're a preacher and you don't want to die suddenly, be careful. You hear what I said? If you're a preacher and you don't want to die suddenly, be careful. That's how Satan steals people's authority. Eventually, he gets the authority to kill them at will. But let me sit down on my number one point, actually. Let me review it, then I can close. Remember where I started with Eve? Has God really said? Starts questioning what God has said. And what I mean is this. God has an order, and that is righteousness again. I said that righteousness, don't forget that, is exactly how God said, doing things the way God said should be done. Do you follow me? Now, the whole world, as a matter of fact, lies under the power of the wicked one. It is not a joke that Satan said to Jesus Christ that all of this authority has been delivered to me. That is, it is possible, all right? You enter a particular industry and every power player, the every powerful person in the industry is serving Satan. It's possible. Maybe next week, if I don't come back to this next week, I'll start talking about building a new generation. Now, the point I'm making is that Satan steals authority. And those are the ways by which he steals authority. Number one, he tells us, one, God doesn't mean it like that. We have to use physical evidence to show that this is right, this is not right. After all, Bill Gates didn't believe in God like the way you believe, and he succeeded. Do you get my point? Donald Trump is not a non-believer and he's succeeding. That's your personal problem. The principles of God are still true and they are genuine. It is possible for the whole world to lie under the power of the wicked one because they are obeying the words of Satan. That's one way by which he takes people's authority. And the second way, like I said, is that he takes them away from the place that God has planted them. I hope you've learned something today. All right, the Lord is good.